Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Good morning, everyone. Really appreciate how many people have asked how our vacation was. So I wanted to bring along a picture of our vacation. Our vacation was a rainy vacation. So one day, we just sat on the back porch of the cabin that we were staying in and read most of the day. And this was our view as we looked down on the North Fork of the Shenandoah River Valley. It was a very relaxing place to be. And as I thought about that, that's really where I would like to go back to day after day, and where it's my prayer that every one of you could get back to. A relaxing place that reminds me of the passage we just heard from Psalm 1. That as we meditate on God's word, we are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. I pray that you and I just have that sense of relaxation in the presence of our God. And I believe that we need it because we live in a stressful world. One of the lessons in the other services was from 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is how that lesson begins. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you, by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter mentions, rid yourself of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. And I just think of how much stress comes into our lives because we live in a world filled with malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Those things are present in our families. They're certainly present in the workplace and in the classroom. And just this morning, I got a text that was filled with malice and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And it certainly put a lot of stress on me. And so it's my prayer that as we, in this next four-week series, look for rest for the stressed, that every one of us can come back to a place like this and find rest for our souls. We asked in that last hymn or last song, you know, open your heart, your arms wide to us, Lord. Where does God open his arms to us and clasp us to himself? It's right here. It's right here in his word. And so, as we work our way through this message series, we are going to practice using that word of God so that every one of us has a daily time with our God. Now, some of you are already at that point where every day you open up God's word, whether it be a Bible or a Bible app, and you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And if you already have that pattern, you might be thinking, this message is not for me. In a sense, it's not. But I would guarantee you that every one of you who have that pattern know people in your family and in your circle of friends who don't have that pattern. And I can guarantee you that the majority of your brothers and sisters here at the Bridge and those of you who are online don't have that pattern either. And so, if you already have these patterns, I give you permission to spend the next 10 to 15 minutes just praying. Praying for those who don't. Because most of us can't find this place of rest for the stressed. So I'd like to start just by reviewing what we looked at last week. Last week we talked about finding rest by using this diagram that's called the Eisenhower Principle, how you make good use of your time, how you divide up your tasks. And we recognized that a relationship with God is in that upper right-hand quadrant in the not urgent but important. That's where all relationships really are. They are not urgent. You know, you don't always have to spend time with your kids. Maybe today you have to work more than the next day, but that they'll still love you tomorrow. It's not urgent, but it is important. It's true of your relationship with God too. You know, you can go through life and the bitterness and stuff that's out there in the world won't necessarily rob you of your faith overnight. It's not urgent, but boy, is it important, because you and I live in a place where we are filled with stress, and that stress is meant to separate us from God. So it's not urgent, but important. So what I'd like to do is right now, I would ask you to get out that 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Can everybody do this? Can you hold it up like this? And for those of you who are online, you can go on to stpaulsmuskego.org and go to the worship page, and you'll can find it right at the back of the worship folder. All right, so you're holding it up like this. So, you see those first four points? I actually want you to fill them in. Because if it's not urgent but important, the only way that we are going to find rest for our souls is we schedule it. So my first questions are, what time and what place? If it is important that we develop a relationship with our God, and that relationship is found in His Word, when are you going to spend focused time on that relationship with God? If you don't put it on your calendar, it's not going to happen, right? So when? Write it in. I got all the time in the world. Go ahead. Take your time. And then the place. Because if you can't visualize it, you probably aren't going to do it. So where is it? In your home? What room in your home? Are you going to be lying in bed and reading? Or are you going to be first thing in the morning as you're enjoying a cup of coffee? Is it on your way to work? Or is it during a break? Where and when? Oh, but we probably need to also answer that other question, what must change? Because what we do tends to fill up every minute of our lives. It's like gas. You know, I remember in chemistry that gas will always expand to fill the space that it's given. And so whatever we do in life will always expand and fill every second of our lives. And we look at our lives and so we just don't have any time. So the only way that we're going to find time for what's not urgent but important, that time in our day, is something has to go. So what is going to go that's not important, whether it's urgent or not urgent? What are you going to cut back on so that you have that time and a place to focus on what's not urgent but important? And then on this question, on these first four questions, the fourth one is the most important. You see my little owl up in the right-hand corner. Woo! It's up in the trees. The most important question really is, who's going to ask you how it's going? If you haven't developed a Bible reading pattern, a time when you are focusing on that relationship with your God on a daily basis, it's going to be really hard to develop. But there's something odd about us. If somebody is going to ask us about it, we'll tend to do it more. So who's going to ask you? Who's the who? Who? Right? At ministry board meeting last Thursday night, a young man that I just highly respect just said, you know, I'm not as good in this pattern of Bible reading as I should. And I just said, you want me to ask about it? And he said, sure. That's all I'm asking is, who are you going to ask? We'll say, hey, how are you doing on that Bible reading plan? Who? And then when we have that idea that, yes, this is important and I am going to make the time to make it happen, then today what I want to do is I want to just practice on how can we make the best use of that time when we open up the Bible and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to use over the next 4 weeks Luther's garland of four strands. It's something that he talked about in a little pamphlet that he wrote for his barber called A Simple Way to Pray. And Martin Luther actually wrote this about how he prays through the catechism, but it's also a great guide for our Bible reading. It's called The Garland of Four Strands. He wrote, I divide each commandment into four parts, thereby fashioning a garland of four strands. That is, I think of each commandment as first instruction, which is really what it is intended to be, and consider what the Lord demands of me so earnestly. Second, I turn it into thanksgiving. Third, a confession. And fourth, a prayer. So we have those four strands as we're reading God's word. You see, we're saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But very often we listen and not even ask any questions, and we walk away from that conversation and we say, God spoke, but I didn't hear anything. So let's ask some questions of God as we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So this is going to be incredibly hard on me. It's going to be harder on me than you. I am going to be quiet for a minute. And I want you to look at these four strands: instruction, thanksgiving, confession, and prayer. And I want you to write questions that you are going to ask as you read God's word. What question can you ask to say, what are you teaching me? What question about confession? What question about thanksgiving? Okay? Write it down. By the way, you don't have to turn these sheets in. These are your very own sheets, so you can write on them. Okay? So write, and I'll give you a minute. That was hard. All right. Now, maybe you didn't get all through all four, but I just want to go through. Here are some of the questions that you might ask yourself. And again, you're trying to develop a conversation with God. You open up the Bible and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and here are the questions that I'm going to ask of God as I listen to him speak to me. As far as instruction, God, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn here? Or maybe, what are you reminding me of? Sometimes we open up the Bible and say, God should teach me something that I've never heard before. A lot of times it's just, this is something that I need to be reminded of today. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving. What has God given me? You know, is there a gift that he talks about in this lesson? Or is there a promise of a gift that he is going to give me? And then confession. What do I need to admit to God? How have I misused his gift? And then in this conversation with God, his words to us will spark us to respond something back to him in prayer. You see, a good devotional time really is a conversation. Make sure that the most important person is doing most of the talking. Make sure that you're spending time letting God speak to you in his word, but then you also want to speak back to him. And what he says to you, there are things that you'll want to say back to him in response. So what do you want to talk to God about in response to this lesson? What do you want to ask for? Now, before we actually practice these garland of four strands, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention. And that's that if you are constantly looking for reasons to thank God and reasons to confess to him, you will see two teachings of the Bible all over and over again, and those teachings are law and gospel. And this is the key as you open up God's word and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When you open up the Bible, you are coming face to face with God. And if you are honest, as God speaks to you, there is always going to be something that convicts you. And some people don't like to read the Bible because of that, but that's part of what we need. Every day we need to have God convict us, to speak to our hearts, to remind us of our guilt and sin before him. But then there's this other word from God, the gospel, that reminds us that God sent his son to be our Savior and to look for promises of God that reassure you that you are his forgiven child, that he takes delight in you, and that he's working in you. In a few minutes, we're going to see Mike up on the screen in a video, and he'll close with a marvelous gospel promise where it talks about how God's power is at work within us. That's gospel, when God is making promises to us. So, this is what you're looking for. Primarily, how are you convicting me and how are you comforting me? Okay? Now, remember how hard it was for me for a minute? It's going to get worse. I'm going to be quiet for 2 minutes. Because what we're going to do is we're going to read these two verses of Psalm 1 together, and then I'm going to give you 2 minutes to practice the garland of four strands right here. Because I know that if you practice it here, there's more likely that you'll use it tomorrow in your own devotion at home. So let's read this together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the... I'm sorry, I memorized it in the old way and I can't get out of it. So let's start over. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So again, here are the four strands, my questions. You can ask your own questions. Look at those verses and write in, what is God teaching me here? What is he asking me? This is something you can give thanks to God, to me, God, for. What do you have to confess, and what do you want to ask for in prayer? I'll give you 2 minutes. By the way, it's on the other side of the sheet, if you hadn't noticed.
It's already a minute and a half. I'm trying to hold out.
So as you look at Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, what are some things that you have learned? What is God teaching you? Anybody want to just share? What is God teaching you? You see, we don't do this here. Whoa! There's somebody courageous in the back. Be careful of the company you keep. Surround yourself with other Christians. Anybody else? Yes. Ah, he promises to bless those who follow his ways. Yeah. Okay, Lord. You've taught me something here. What do you want to give thanks to God for? By the way, there is no right or wrong answer when you're using these questions. In fact, the answers will change from one time to the next. That's the beauty of reading God's Word, because God's Word is unchanging, but you are not. You will be different the next time you open God's Word and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and you read Psalm 1. So there is no right or wrong answer, but what do you want to give thanks to God for as you think about this passage? I'm not going to raise my hand. Oh, Sally.
Thank God for all of his blessings and his law, which is the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord, for all of his blessings. And then Sally mentioned also, thank you for his law, which in the Old Testament very often is the word Torah, which means all of his word, not just the commandments, but also his gospel promises. Thank you, Lord, for both law and gospel. What do I need to admit to God? I'll admit something. Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dan. All the way from Mexico. Woo! If anybody is watching from Mexico, Dan did go to church. All right, go ahead, Dan. Yeah, we've been there in the seat of mockers. I was going to confess, my delight is in the law of the Lord. Boy, there's a lot of times when I really don't want to do that. Sometimes I just pull out the Bible because that's what I do. And what do you want to pray about? I'll tell you what I'm praying for. I'm praying that every one of us here experiences what Psalm 1, 1 and 2 promises. That every one of us knows that we are blessed by God. And then look at Psalm 1, verse 3. The promise goes on. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Oh, brothers and sisters, you live in a stress-filled world because it is a world filled with sin. You're part of the cause, by the way, so am I. And we need to have these streams of living water that will keep us alive even in the dry times where we see so much bitterness and envy both within our hearts and in the lives of those around us. My prayer is that every one of us says, today is the day. I am going to start a daily time of relationship with my God. It is not urgent, but it's the most important thing that I can do. That's my prayer. Now, you'll notice that after that section on the back, those verses 3 through 6, there's those questions again. And when are you supposed to do that, do you suppose? Right now would be a great time, but then the people at 10:45 would kill me because I'll never get there. So I'm going to ask you, go home and do it and practice. See, the more you practice it, the more it becomes a part of your life. But what I would like to do is just close by reminding you, encouraging you to use the tools that are available. As we think about this garland of four strands, how can we make use of it? Where do we start opening God's word and saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'd encourage you, if you haven't, you downloaded them, download one of these Bible apps. They have multiple Bible reading plans, chapters a day or just a few verses a day, so that you can meditate. Meditate is the idea of chewing on it. Can meditate on God's word day and night. And the church that made YouVersion, yes, a church made YouVersion and gave it to the world, that church has just made another Bible app called Bible Lens. I love it. It's a lot of fun. It actually searches your pictures and comes up with Bible passages that go onto your pictures. So it looks through your albums and gives you Bible passages. So you can kind of go back and review the good times and have a Bible passage that may apply. So here I am with my grandkids. We're celebrating our first harvest of green peppers from our garden, and children are a heritage from the Lord. But this is the one that I like the best. Last year I took a picture of a turkey crossing the parking lot. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So have fun with it, because God's word is meant to be a delight for us too. And then the last thing is who is going to ask you? And if you don't have a family of believers that are supporting you, I would ask you, or I would beg you, mark down, I'm going to attend Group Link. I want to get into a life group where people will ask me, hey, how's it going in your relationship with God? Are you reading God's word? What did you get out of it? So that we can grow together. So I'd like to close with a prayer, because I believe that every one of us is stressed and God has given us the solution. So we pray. Lord God, you have promised to bless us when we delight in your word. And every one of us has to admit that we have not used your word in the way that you'd want us to. Every one of us has to confess. Maybe we haven't even opened it. Maybe we've opened it and not gotten much out of it. Our minds have been distracted. Lord, you know it. And we just admit it to you, and we claim the promises of your word. We claim that Jesus died on the cross for every one of our sins, and we are somebody that you delight in. And we thank and praise you for that. And we pray not just for ourselves, but we pray for our brothers and sisters around us. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are online. That, Lord, today's the day. Oh, it's not urgent. We could put it off another day and another week and another month. Sometime we'll get into God's word. But we pray, no, Lord, today is the day. that we can see the time and the place where we open up your word. And we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Hear the questions I have for you, Lord. And we thank you for your answers. The answers that are all yes and amen. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.